You're listening to Treasuring Scripture, a podcast of the weekly teaching ministry of Lebanon Baptist Church, Roswell, Georgia. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us at lebanonbaptist.org.
Now, how do you talk about Good Friday when in many ways the entirety of our faith hangs in the balance between Friday and Sunday? Everything. Everything we have, everything we hold dear, all of it is hanging in the balance on that Friday. I want to read a passage of Scripture for us from the book of Isaiah. This was written a few hundred years before these events that we just read and sang about. Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet says, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth." Now listen to this verse. This is where I'm going to spend some time this evening focusing. "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." That verse, verse 10, "yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him," I think is very important. Because the story that we are all thinking about and meditating on, the gospel of Jesus Christ, begins with God. It must begin with God. It starts with God. The Bible starts with God. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, man. In the beginning, God. Not you. This whole life is not about us. It's actually about him. He is unchangeable. And he's actually unthreatened by our thoughts of him. You may think, oh, he doesn't exist, or that he's different than what other people say or what the Bible says, but that doesn't really change anything about him. Our thoughts don't change reality. It's like staring down a hungry lion and trying to pretend that he doesn't have teeth. It doesn't do you any good. Okay? It doesn't matter what you think, it matters what's true. And the reality is it starts with God. Your life and eternity rest on him, not you, or your interpretations or your feelings about him. It's important to understand that this all begins with God. This was God's plan from day one. The always and forever one, the existing one, the creator and sustainer of all things, the one who's completely independent and free, who answers to no one, the all-knowing, the all-powerful king who is surprised by nothing and challenged by no one, the one who is working his plan for his purposes since before the foundations of the world, the one who needs no defending, no supporting, no excusing, the mind-boggling one. He exists in three distinctions and yet one complete unity, the Trinity, but also the one whose eyes are so pure he cannot behold sin. He's a personal one whose love is beyond comprehension and whose care supersedes even our greatest needs. He's the compassionate one who's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is who it begins with. It begins with God. And God has a plan, and God created mankind for a relationship with him. And as we'll find out, man rebels against God. Man starts desiring God's job. But God is gracious, and he gives good gifts. God has an offer for us on the table. It's an offer for everyone here. And it is a free offer. And when I say free, free to you, okay? A gift is always free to the person who's receiving it, but it always costs the person who's giving it, potentially greatly. If we were to look deeper into Isaiah chapter 53, we'd find lots mentioned about God, but also about this offer. What is it, this offer? What is this offer that's on the table? Well, he offers a relationship. He offers the creation to know the creator. He offers forgiveness, a fresh start with hope and with help. He offers community and fellowship with him at all times and with his family. There's a lot he offers. And remember, I mentioned at the very beginning, everything we believe in, everything we hope in kind of was hinging on Friday to Sunday. But lest you think I was kidding, let me just read a list for you of things that are dependent on whether or not Friday to Sunday is actually good. Hope for the brokenhearted, help for the weak, healing for the sick, joy for the afflicted, peace for those in conflict, both internally and externally, love for the rejected, worth for those who are poor, life for those who are spiritually dead, ease for the burdened, light for those in darkness, the way for those who are lost, the truth for those who are deceived, purpose for the meandering, urgency for the lethargic, a mission for those who are his, resurrection for those who are buried in him, humbling for the stubbornly proud, relief for the oppressed, a defense for the orphan, the widow, the marginalized, compassion in the midst of temptation, strength in the midst of weakness, an ear for those who can't speak, and pardon for the guilty sinner, and peace for those estranged from God. The list could go on. But all of that is the offer that's on the table. It starts with God, but God offers something. But he offers something to people specifically, and it's a certain type of person that he offers this to. He offers it to sinners. God offers all of this hope, this forgiveness, this reconciliation, this peace to sinners, which is strange. You'd think he'd offer it to people who are grand, who are great, who are worthy and noble. But the reality is that every single one of us is a sinner. As you read through Isaiah 53, you find that he was crushed and chastised for our iniquities, our transgressions, our guilt. Now, it's easy to look around at other people and find worse sinners, right? If you have Apple News or if you read the newspaper or anything, you'll read a story that disgusts you, makes you just want to throw the news away, never look at it again. And you're like, those people need to just not be allowed to live. But here's the question. Who gets to draw the line at what is really bad? Or not. The answer is God again. It starts with God. You see, and God drew the line not just at horrific actions, but he drew the line at thoughts, intentions of your heart, motivations. And Romans 3:23 says that all of us have sinned. All of us fall short. And here's the line. Are you ready? We fall short of the glory of God. That's the line. And if any of us fall short of that, then we are all guilty. But interestingly enough, that's exactly who this offer is for. It's for people who are guilty. It's for all the, on my notes here, it's everything on the right side of the page, right? Hope for the brokenhearted, help for the weak, the sick, the afflicted, the rejected. Those are the ones for whom this offer is given. So God offers to sinners, but he offers sinners something specific. He offers them peace. Did you see that in the passage? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. You ever notice how much your soul longs for peace? The clamor and noise of the day. You can't wait till your head is on the pillow and you can relax. But then you're plagued by yourself. We need peace. And there's only peace from God. Peace is significant because peace can only happen if there's reconciliation of a relationship. There has to be both forgiveness and there has to be a removal of the transgression. Think of it this way. You could step on a thorn and it go up into your foot and that hurts. Ouch. Okay? And you could treat the thorn, you could pour antiseptic on it, whatever you're going to do, but it's not going to stop hurting until you remove the thorn, okay? You got to remove it. Our sin is an affront to God. And yes, he can forgive the sin, but it also has to be dealt with and removed, purged away, cleansed. And that's what is available because of the cross. Jesus paid a debt so that we could be forgiven. He paid the debt of every person so that they might come to Jesus and find release and relief from their guilt. God offers sinners peace. Let me ask you a question. Are you at peace today? Do you know what peace is? Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by God, declared righteous, we have peace with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you today, you're here and you are the opposite of peace. You're just full of turmoil. The cross accomplished a great work for you so that you could have peace. God offers sinners peace, but how does he do that? How does he do this? I thought about titling my message today, The Cost of a Gift. Because here's the thing. We all know, I don't know about you, but Christmas, I love Christmas. We're not at Christmas right now, but I love Christmas. And it's fun to think of and try to come up with fun gifts, okay? But the problem is that oftentimes my gifts are like way too expensive. So it's like, okay, forget that idea. Let's just go with something simple. Okay? Jesus paid the price for the most astounding gift, your peace. And he did it through an exchange. Okay? Through an exchange. And that's what is all through the passage we just read. Did you hear it? Listen to it again. I'll just read a few of the verses. Surely he has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. You see, there's a great exchange that took place. An exchange where Jesus took our sin. Peter, in 1 Peter, when he's quoting this passage, okay, he's referring to this passage. He says this. He says that God made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Just a few verses later, he would say that Christ suffered once for sin, right? The righteous for the unrighteous, so that he could bring us to God. There was a great exchange that happened where Jesus comes and he takes your sin, he takes your guilt, he takes your missing the mark and falling short of his glory, and he takes it upon himself and he pays for it on the cross. Wow. The great exchange took place where God substituted himself for you. That's the message of the cross. That's Good Friday. Jesus stepping in front of the train. Jesus taking the bullet. Jesus, the one who would stand and absorb all of your problems so that he could end your problems. Jesus exchanged his life for you so that you could have life. So God offers sinners peace, exchanging life. Life. Jesus had said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Jesus, when he laid down his life, he willingly gave it up. He made it available for you so that you might have life. You know, when you study the death of Jesus Christ throughout the New Testament, guess what it is most often connected with? Your freedom from slavery to sin. A lot of you are enslaved to sin. That's not life. That's death. Romans 6 says that. That the wages, the fruit of living that type of a life is death. But God offers you life. God offers sinners peace, exchanging life. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that you have that life? By the way, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L. God offers sinners peace, exchanging life. Do you have the peace of God? Do you have life? It was purchased for you on the cross so that you might have it. But it's not just for you to have and subscribe to mentally. It's for you to have every single day. I hope that you have come to see the crucifixion of Jesus as something that is beautiful, something that you desperately need. Are you a sinner? Then the offer's for you. The offer's from God, and it's an offer of peace because he exchanged his life for yours. I hope that you know the gospel, you understand it. I hope this little acrostic is helpful, okay? This little acronym. But it's the message of Isaiah 53. It's the good news, the gospel. We all need it. We all need to rejoice in it and rejoice in the cross of Jesus Christ and look forward to celebrating Sunday when he rose and conquered death.
Thank you for listening to Treasuring Scripture. It's our desire that every Christian treasure God's word in their heart. To follow our podcast, please hit the subscribe button. If you're interested in learning more about our church, please visit LebanonBaptist.org.